This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Six.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off on this Tuesday, September 28th, by saying good evening to Michael.
I really handle a Bunsen burner beautifully.
I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
It's a glass lion.
And to Michael.
Barry Manilow.
And to Don.
This is how they want to play baseball.
That's right. You know, we haven't talked... Well, first of all, let's remind everyone, ENN tonight is brought to you by our friends at Fidelis Care. And let's also start off tonight's show by hearing from Keyshawn, asking the question, answering the question, discussing the idea. Is Daniel Jones the guy?
He's trending in that direction for what it is right now. We have to see if Joe Judge going to make it? Is Jason Garrett going to make it? Is Gettleman going to make it? Are all three of those guys going to be back next year? Let's assume not. The new coach comes in and he evaluates it, as Mike says. We sit down, we're going to look at it. Can I work with him? Because if I know I can work with him and he gives me the best chance to be successful, if Kevin Stefanski, for some odd, weird, strange reason, goes from Cleveland to the New York Giants, Daniel Jones is going to be okay because he'll know what to do with him. But if you get somebody that don't know what the hell they doing, the first thing they're going to do, get rid of him, Sam Darnold like. And then you're going to mess it up. So you take that running back like Mike is saying and Saquon Barkley. So whoever the quarterback is going to be successful. No quarterback in the National Football League with my eyeballs outside of Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, who has Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, has ever been good without a running back. Not one.
He was all over the place there.
I'll tell you one thing that I noticed just in yesterday's game. You watch Zeke run, and then you watch Saquon run. It's not even comparable.
Yeah.
I mean, Zeke is chewing up 8-9 yards a carry. I mean, he's just eating up wide swaths of field. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. He and Henry are the two – exceptions to the rule, because they can get yards without holes. They can grind games down when you've got a lead. You know, the explosiveness is nice, but I rewatched the game today. And on the surface, you think there's a couple of big plays for Saquon. One got called back on a holding penalty, but for the most part, he's not that guy. He's not that guy when you've got a, like with the Giants, when they had a 14-7 lead. All right, let's grind it out, guys. Let's just run the ball. Let's keep the work the clock. They don't have that. You saw it at the end of the Washington game. He's not that back. You know what Aaron Rodgers does? He dumps off to his running back. That's their running game. Their running game is still a passing game. Unless you've got a beast that you just give the ball to and just have him roll. And there's only like two or three backs in the whole league that can
do
that.
Zeke is one of those dudes.
And Zeke
though.
Is one of the guys.
He's a man. Every year.
But the one thing Keyshawn said that's important is that when you say if you bring in the right coach, what you're saying is they don't have the right coach. So if I've got the quarterback, get him a coach. If there's a coach that can fix Jones and you can win with Jones, get that coach. You're the New York Giants. There's no cap for coaches, right? Go out and get the best offensive mind there is and support your sixth overall pick.
Now you may be talking about replacing Jason Garrett. Certainly not my guy, Freddie Keith.
Hey, listen, if you were going to make a move, I hate firing coaches in the middle of the season. If they lose to the Saints and the season looks to be over anyway, now I've got to find out whether I'm going to pay Jones. I would make Kitchens the offensive coordinator, and I would fire Garrett.
Let me ask a question. Is Michael a handful of games away from having to renege on his future Hall of Famer, Joe Judge?
No, I will not.
Don?
Well, it was silly to begin with, but it's not looking good. If you had to bet, is he going to get fired at the end of the season or go to the Hall of Fame? What are you betting?
Well, certainly you're not.
You know, come on. I mean, losses are losses. But I'm not even blaming Judge in this case. I can blame him for a lot of the penalties and bad decisions, but
isn't that a big part? That's okay. The two things that stink about this team the most are the offensive play calling, lack of creativity and execution. That's one piece, and then the other piece is the lack of discipline. Part two is a judge issue, unfortunately. That's how it goes. Whether it really is him or not, lack of discipline is a head coach issue in the NFL.
I think it is. But here's the rub. Is that, all right, that's one issue. But my bigger issue maybe, even bigger than whether I replace Judge or not, is am I going to give that fifth-year option to Jones? Is he my quarterback, or am I going to be drafting a quarterback next year? So if the season is over, and I think it is now, but it certainly will be at 0-4 if they lose to the Saints, I need to do everything I can to find out if Daniel Jones is the guy. I got to open the playbook. I got to bring somebody in to get the best out of him. And it's not Kitchens, it's somebody else. But I've got to find out if I got a quarterback. And I tell you what, it's a lot easier to find a head coach than it is to find a quarterback.
Well, one bit of great quarterback play we got to watch was last night. Isn't that what we all want, though? Think about the joy of having that man as our offensive coordinator here.
It's kind of interesting that, you know, Mayfield's been a little better since Kitchens left from Cleveland.
That is true, though. You're not saying
his name
right,
though. He's no kind of head coach, let's be honest.
Kitchens.
No, that's not how you say it. How do you say it, Anthony? It's pronounced
Freddie Keegan.
Right. So you have to have a lisp.
It's hard. I remember my transition. Speaking of great quarterback play, you saw some last night in that Monday night doozy where Andrew, if you were nude early, you were certainly wearing a parka by halftime.
No, because right? I've had it. Yeah, started nude, many layers by the end.
Yeah, that was not.
See, you shouldn't start nude.
What are you feeling about Jalen Hurts right now? We're three games into this year. How are you feeling about old Jalen Hurts?
I mean, he was terrible last night. So you can't feel good. He's throwing behind open receivers. He's underthrowing balls for receivers who are potentially open in the end zone. He was really bad. His coach didn't help him though. Two running plays. I mean, how can that happen? So,
by the way,
yeah, all bad all around. I thought
Andrew separately probably should do this off the air, but you and I didn't get to discuss, where do you rank DeSean Jackson's taunting run into the end zone on Sunday for all-time obnoxious DeSean Jackson taunts into the end zone?
Well, he's the ultimate. If he's on your team, you love it. If he's not, you can't stand it. So, I mean, in terms of, like, NFL taunting moves, it's probably one of the best there is.
Have you ever – but, like, the one on Sunday, did you see it, Don?
I saw the play. I didn't see the taunt.
Well, it's like He was cruising into the end zone, and he, like, crisscrossed back and forth across the field, almost getting tackled. It was just vintage, mwah, obnoxious to Sean Jackson, but apparently he could still go. So last night during this Eagles-Cowboys game, the Manning cast happened. That's right, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. No, Freddie Keegan was not a guest.
Keegan.
But LeBron... But LeBron James was, and here's LeBron talking about being offered an NFL job in the lockout in 2011.
Jerry Jones offered me a contract. Also, Pete Carroll did as well in Seattle during our lockout time. And it definitely got my blood flowing again, got my mind racing again, thinking about the game of football, you know, being out there on Sundays. But, you know, we was able to get a deal done in the NBA, and I was back on the court in no time. But I definitely thought about it. I still got the jersey, too, that Jerry and Pete Carroll sent me from 2011.
Now, right around that time, I don't know if you guys were watching then, Dallas was on the doorstep about to score. And they asked LeBron, A, for a play call prediction, which he got right, and then after the scoring play, to break down what he saw. LeBron knows football. Did you see that part, Michael?
Yep.
Like, LeBron perfectly broke down what the defense was doing and why he would run the play that was run, a draw for the touchdown. Yeah, he knows the game of football. Now, here's a part a lot of people are talking about from the Manning cast. Eli Manning's Philly double bird story.
I would give the bird. I don't know. Can we do that? Can you? I'm sure you can blur that out, right?
Nope. They can't, Eli, as he gave two middle fingers to the camera. Not something he did often when he was here in New York.
No.
He was great.
We've said it, that when it's all said and done, he's going to be the star.
And he gets the pick on Peyton, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the best part was when they brought Archie in. So Archie came in at the beginning of the third quarter and just reviewed Peyton because Peyton had, had made a disparaging comment about LeBron's high school quarterback. And, like, it's so cute. Like, Archie goes, you know, your mother said you got to apologize to that guy. You know, he's a high school quarterback from a long time ago. Why would you say that? You got to change your shirt. The sweat stains are bad. It's really – it's a fun watch.
I saw Pat McAfee over the weekend at WWE Extreme Rules, and I was like, hey, man, you got a lot of buzz from your appearance with the Mannings. And he was telling me that – I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, but I think it's kind of obvious. He was just saying there are times throughout that show last week when Eli specifically asked questions and stories that he knows are going to piss off Peyton Heftold. He just likes to get him. Like the story that was, they told a story about a holiday party that got out of control at Peyton's house, and he knows Peyton doesn't want to tell that story publicly. And so Eli would be like, hey, what about that?
One of the funniest things yesterday, I guess Archie and Olivia were in Jersey for the retirement ceremony. So Archie's there, and then Peyton goes, I mean, what are you, at mom and dad's house? And Peyton and Eli, without like skipping a beat, goes, No, when they come visit me, I let them stay in my house. You put them in a hotel.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like real brother fighting on TV. That's gold.
And then he said something, and Eli, so quick, he said something about his mom upstairs, and then Eli, without skipping a beat, goes, Ma, meatloaf!
Oh, he's big on the movie references and jokes, too. Yep. They did a thing yesterday where they're talking about someone getting a belly massage on the sideline, and Eli puts his hands over his stomach, Don, and basically does a Tommy Boy when he's like, right around here in this region. Like, he's just quick with movie references, and I think there's a 40% part of Eli that just sincerely hates his brother.
There was a great Q&A by Steve Serby with Cooper on Sunday. And you got the impression Cooper doesn't like Peyton either.
Well, I mean, I think Peyton's,
like, Cooper really has an affinity toward Eli.
Peyton is a heel who plays babyface.
Ooh, so, like, interesting.
He's always like, I'm funny, I'm affable, but you get the sense he's a heel. Eli plays everything very low key, very subtle, talks trash to his brother, but he's the babyface.
Yeah,
he's the good one. All due respect, I'm not saying Peyton's a bad guy. I just think he's probably a little more obnoxious than Eli. Eli's a great guy. Now, speaking of known heels, let's talk Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, shall we? Tom Brady has a podcast. You thought it was a lot that Jim Gray got an interview with Tom Brady every week. Now he has a podcast with Brady and Larry Fitzgerald called Let's Go. And here's Tom Brady talking Belichick on the podcast.
20 years of being there, and obviously he's a great mentor for me. Yes, there's definitely great lessons I've learned from him. You know, he's a great football coach, and he does a great job for his team.
That's generic. And here's Brady on Pats fans.
There'll be a lot of excitement from them in the stands. The home crowd at Gillette is a great crowd, and I think they're going to cheer for their team as I would expect them to. And I think if they know anything about me, they're going to know that I'm going out there to try to win the football game. So I think they'll respect that about me. I certainly respect that they're there to pull for their team, and that's the way sports goes.
Wow, that was – I want to say – write this moment down. Tuesday, September 28th at 6:19 p.m. during ENN, the two most generic clips ever played in the history of the show. He basically just said they're going to play football on Sunday, and it's going to be at a stadium with fans there. And Bill Belichick is a coach, and I am a football player.
Football! I've got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Who wants to win more? Who would, like, kill a small farmland animal to win that game?
Well, I think Belichick at this moment – I won't go as far as saying a season on the brink, but he's Bill Belichick is staring two bad seasons in a row right in the face, and getting this win at this point in the season, would really, first of all, it would even them to 2-2, and what a beautiful piece of bragging rights at this point, yeah. And also knocks the Bucks to 2-2. I think Belichick wants it more,
but. The wanting it more, or like who wants to like stick it to the other guy? Because I really do think Bill Belichick is all coach. I think he's moved on. Like right now, he's legitimately concerned about his young quarterback, and as you said, trying to salvage this season early on, not drop to 1-3 on the year. So needing it more, because Tampa got off to a slow start last year and they still won the Super Bowl. But Belichick's probably all in on his young quarterback and trying to, you know, save the season. I don't think Bill's dwelling on Brady the way Brady's dwelling on Bill.
You'd have to admit, Don, that Bill Belichick in a quiet moment probably has a really, really healthy disregard for Tom Brady.
Right, but he also knows he doesn't have the team to maybe compete with Tampa. It's great, and Brady's kind of fraudulent in the sense that he had a chance to back up everything that had been said the previous week. You know he planted those stories. And then
ripped his dad, too.
Right. So he doesn't want to own it, but you know he was behind all that stuff getting out there. But Brady also knows he's on a really good football team that it's defending Super Bowl champions. So Bill's not really in a position right now to worry too much about bragging rights.
He's got to win games.
This season could be – but if they start 1-3
– no, it's problems. It's problems.
And you've got a young quarterback. You saw the way they played that second half against the Jets. I mean, they were beating the Jets, and they still didn't let Jones do anything.
Let's hear from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Here's former Patriot Asante Samuel saying why he thinks Brady is better than Belichick.
Tom Brady is not there. He's at another team. Tom Brady takes that system, goes to another team, and wins on a COVID year. Belichick has his system. Only one with Brady. He hands the system down to other coaches, but Brady's the only one that's successful. So when we say elaborate, we're going to look at the facts of things, and we're going to elaborate on the facts and the truth. And we're still waiting for him. If he goes out and wins the Super Bowl and does great, you're the greatest coach to ever live in my eyes. But until then, we just got to see. We got to see what type of coach he's going to end up being.
So he's not the greatest coach of all time after 6 Super Bowls?
Oh, because
he's got to win one more?
But also, it's such a simplified take. Listen, it was amazing what Brady did, but that team, Tampa's loaded. New England last year lost 4 starters on defense to COVID, and he's trying to win with a limited Cam Newton, and now he's trying to win with a rookie quarterback.
But if he coached 4 more years, Don, and went 0-17 each year, he'd still be the greatest coach who ever lived. He doesn't have to prove anything.
Yeah. I'll tell you that. If Brady left, won a few more Super Bowls, and Bill Belichick went like 0-68, I think it would hurt the legacy, Michael.
But he'd still be the greatest coach of all time. It would hurt the legacy of who was more important. Who's been a better coach?
Right. It's still, he was a tremendous coach for a long time with a bunch of Super Bowl appearances. And now he's 68 years old, and now he's got to continue to kind of prove. If you don't have a quarterback,
that's a little
ridiculous. And plus, can we also admit, guys, because we watched a lot of those games, don't make it seem like poor Tom Brady that last year in New England. He was somewhat responsible for how they played in the second half and in that playoff game. Now let's not completely absolve Tom Brady. He looked old. He looked done. Because he didn't have a lot of weapons and the team was limited. Now he goes to a team that's loaded, right, with one of the greatest tight ends of all time. He goes out and gets some really good wide receivers. And one of them didn't play, by the way, last week, and that hurt him. With Brown didn't play. So it's not exactly even right now. Okay, if you want to have the opinion that Tom Brady is more important, that's fine. But don't make it seem like it's even. You're talking like New England's loaded with a great quarterback. No, Tom Brady's in a position on a great team, and right now New England – is limited on winning that championship.
We have to say goodbye to yes right now.
Let's say goodbye to yes, and let's come back on the other side with more ENN. How about that?
So yes is going to have the pregame show, and then the game, Yankees-Blue Jays, will be on Picks 11. So see you to yes. We'll come back with more ENN right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, let's continue ENN, which is brought to you by our friends at Fidelis Care. Fidelis Care community offices are open and can help with all your health insurance needs. Visit FidelisCare.org/offices to learn more. I just want to give a special shout out to everyone who remains with us on the radio only vehicle from 6:30 to 7.
They're the true fans.
You guys, you're the bread and butter, and we get a lot more tweets from the I understand, the at-home watching television crowd. Many of you are driving. You may be listening on the podcast. Whatever it may be, we don't get to communicate with you as much. We love you. We appreciate you. And I'm frankly thrilled to be back doing our 6:30 to 7 every night. Don, let's reward those people with some good time audio we didn't get to yesterday of David Letterman crashing the Nets presser.
Dave from Basketball Digest. Kevin, KD, why do people call you KD? Can I call you KD? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
My first name is Kevin.
Uh-huh. Right.
And my second name, my last name. My second name. My last name is Durant with a D.
KD? This year, what percentage do you plan on giving on the court? 90, 95, 100, 110? What are we looking at?
110.
I just got off the phone with the Dolan family, and they said that they're talking to the commissioner now. They're looking at working a contractual deal that will allow you, when you're not playing for the Nets, days off, you'll be able to play for the Knicks. Comments?
All right, Dave, that was the last one.
I'm sorry, was that a comment?
That's it.
How about you? Do you have a comment? Wrap it up. Okay. I'm being told my time is done. Have a great year. Thanks. What about the Pelicans? When you guys play the Pelicans, does it kind of make you giggle?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's all I got. That's it, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
I got to tell you, I loved the Pelicans line at the end. I read places people saying that, like, Durant wasn't amused. Sometimes the media, I got to tell you, we do not do ourselves any favors for being disliked on. It was so clear to me that was KD's version of playing along.
Yeah, it just, I guess I could see where he's like, all right, that's enough, Dave.
But that's fun. But he's saying Dave, like you think, are people so dumb they think they weren't told what was happening? They told them, David Letterman's here.
It's not that, I'm with you, because that just is kind of how KD is. But you figure when you're being told that you're going to do this, that,
but you want to stay in character. He was playing the part. How would KD really? If KD starts goofing and like being over the top,
right,
you're kind of ruining the bit. Andrew, are you with me or not? I think it was so clear that he was having fun with it also.
So you're saying this is like when celebrity guests would go on Zach Galifianakis's Between Two Ferns.
He played it the Between Two Ferns style. The way he answered the KD, K for Kevin, D for Durant, that was him playing along with the joke. No,
he could have also been done. But then again, he did laugh at the Pelicans. So if he was really like irritated enough, then he might not have laughed at the Pelicans. So
I think even the laugh at the Pelicans. I think even the laugh at the Pelicans part was him, was sort of rehearsed. It was sort of him playing along, if you will.
It is the worst name, I think, in professional.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. There's no doubt. Pelicans. I mean, listen, it's a solid bird. It's a big bird. It's an intimidating bird. The mouth of a pelican is just something to behold.
It's also the state bird of Louisiana.
So?
Well, that could have something to do with why they chose it as their...
exactly the reason why.
You know what, Andrew? We need to give Andrew a raise.
No, but
thank
I
you.
Think we all knew that, because why would you name it a pelican otherwise?
Well, I never knew that.
I know
that.
The tie-in.
No, let me tell you this. I never knew that until Andrew told me
really?
Now. But I was very amused by him saying it may have something to do with it. I never knew that the pelican was the state bird of Louisiana.
Why would he even be on the table then?
I don't know. Why is an Oriole the Baltimore bird?
Because there might be something. There might be a tie-in. I don't know.
Well, maybe. But I spent a lot of time in Maryland. I don't know anything about Orioles.
Let's be honest.
That would be the Maryland state bird.
It's the Maryland state bird. I'm from Maryland, born and raised. I go back 8 times a year. I never would have known, except for the Orioles. Except for the Orioles. That's the only guess. I might have guessed it because of that. All right, fine.
If you're going to come up with a nickname that isn't intimidating or isn't really cool, it's probably a tie-in to the state or the city. That's probably why.
Well, you know what? I think that's a safe bet now.
You know, but and also back in the day, they really didn't put much thought into these names.
The mouth of a pelican is just something to behold.
Browns is not trying. Giants was just because the baseball team was named the Giants. You're not trying.
But Browns is working out, and Giants is really not trying. And Browns is only working out this year, I should be clear. Noah Syndergaard, by the way, guys, is he on the hill yet? What's going on?
They just finished up the first game, 5-2 Mets win. Mets win. Now they are just eight games under 500.
Nice.
So now the second game will get underway shortly.
So very interesting to get our first look at Mr. Syndergaard. Now, have you guys ever heard of a worse promoted event in history than the fact that Anthony Joshua lost the heavyweight championship over this past weekend?
Well, I'm just finding out about it now.
Alexander Usyk, the Ukrainian heavyweight, beats Joshua, wins the WBA, IBF, and WBO world heavyweight titles. So any dreams you had about Tyson Fury finally ending his trilogy with Deontay Wilder in a couple of weeks in Vegas, and then us getting the monster Brit versus Brit at Wembley Stadium between Joshua and Fury, well, that is not going to happen. I don't think it'll ever happen, because I think now with his second loss of the titles, I'm not saying Joshua won't be relevant again. I'm just saying the luster is clearly gone at this point. It would now take to me a couple of years of Joshua being dominant before you believe it again. I mean, he was decisively beaten. Now, don't get me wrong. Usyk's an amazing story. He's a former welterweight champion. He's undefeated in his career, rising up weight class to weight class, and he just completely outclassed Joshua. But still, a lot of luster gone for that fight. And I just, Don, cannot believe. And I heard, by the way, from Brits who said it was underpromoted in the UK, too.
So what do you think the theory is?
As to why the promotion was so bad?
Yeah.
I don't know, but if I'm DAZN, it was on DAZN. How are they? Are they just satisfied with the subscribers they currently have? Because wouldn't you think of all the... Don, you want to get Peter Rosenberg? I was sitting in a hotel room in Columbus, Ohio, waiting for the UFC stuff to start, avoiding college football like the plague, waiting for the Yankees to start. There was nothing on. It's 5 o'clock in the evening. I had no idea there was a heavyweight championship bout on.
See, that it's one thing when people that aren't, like me not knowing, all right, that's a bad job because you want to try to get everybody to know. But when you have people that are fans looking to watch great fights miss out, that I don't know what's going on. The answer is no. They're not satisfied with the number of subscribers. Nobody ever is. You want to add to it.
And because whenever there's a major fight that people are promoting, You hear about it somewhere, especially for me who's interested in fights, but we have a commercial running. There's at least a FanDuel spot for it, a BetMGM spot. There's something.
That's so true.
Nothing. And on Twitter, I saw so many people responding the same way. I just thought it was super interesting. Word is that Richard Sherman is going to be visiting the Tampa Bay Bucks. And if I had to bet, Don, knowing what this team is like, and how they're able to add veterans who are sort of near the end of it and kind of get the most out of them, I would bet that he ends up signing with them.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work. I think it's sexy because of the name, but I don't know if there's anything that's going to move the needle defensively for them. I don't know what he has left at this
point. With guys like that, clearly he's 33 years old. He's on the other side of it, no doubt, beyond the personal stuff that happened, just on the field.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying that. Can he make it? Can he maybe do something? I don't know if all of a sudden I feel like Tampa is that much better a team.
By the way, pardon my ignorance. I was working on Sunday, so I did not get to, I was watching the game in like little blips. Was AB out of the game? Did he not play or just not have any catches?
He didn't travel. He didn't go. He's out.
COVID?
I don't know if we ever officially heard. It was speculated that it was
COVID. Oh, it was protocol. It was COVID protocol.
It was protocol. Yeah, COVID protocol. I don't know if he had it or whatever. I think it was COVID protocol. But he did not make the trip to L.A.
Ron Rivera, after Washington's blowout loss against the Bills over the weekend, said, the blame is shared across this entire team. And he said, obviously, the disappointment now is the defense. And he says, some players are too cautious, while others, like Chase Young, are actually trying too hard. Hmm. But he thinks that this team is still not far off.
Here is something that could be a positive for every team that's off to a slow start. Let's not forget what Steve Young said. September is glorified preseason. And with the extra week, there's no stat for making the playoffs 0-3 or 1-2 or whatever, because there's 17 weeks. Is it possible that some of these teams will just get better as the season goes on because of the mistakes being made or being made because everybody just threw away the preseason? How did the Giants defense and the Washington defense all of a sudden just have an about face like that, with no real significant loss of personnel, other than maybe they're just kind of not ready yet?
Listen, that's my hope.
I'm just saying, I don't know if it's a fact, but maybe it's just something you can hang your hat on. It's like, all right, well, maybe it'll get a little better as time goes on. And it's a shame that that's what football's become, because even with 17 games, even adding a game, there's only 17 of them. So if you're going to take the 3 weeks in September and throw them away, that's not a good thing.
No, it's absolutely not. And I will say, the only hope that I'm still holding out through 3 weeks of Don. I mean, Don, when I say Washington's putrid, we're second to the worst in the league on third down. Okay? It's like 56% or something. It's an awful, awful defense on third down. My only hope is that, like last year, they start figuring it out by early November. But my problem is they don't have an Alex Smith game manager who, you know, as long as the defense does the job, they'll get wins. Heinicke had his first moments this past week against Buffalo, Don, when he was really reaching. He looked a little out of his league.
And you can answer this better than I can, because you watch every single game. I was surprised how good the defense played last year. Like, did you see this coming, that they were going to be one of the best defenses in football when 2020 started?
Well, I mean, you know, whenever – it's really generic, but whenever anyone says, hey, up front they have four first-round draft picks. Yeah, I wasn't shocked. And last year they still had Ryan Kerrigan as well. And even their backups like Ioannidis are good. I wasn't shocked.
Listen, the Giants lost Martinez, but the Giants added some things as well, especially in the secondary. But the
Giants defense, I mean, the Giants defense, well.
Don't try to find a compliment. All right, well, they held the Falcons to 17 points. That might be the most points the Falcons score all year.
They're not a great football
team. No, they're not a great football team, even though, you know, they still have, you know, Matt Ryan, but they might get better as the season goes on too. But my point is that when you see a defense, like the Giants defense was good, better than I thought it would be. Teams go to school on it. Is there something scheme-wise where offense has kind of figured something out and exposed it, and now there's got to be a counterpunch? These coaches have to figure out something to adjust to whatever they've adjusted to. So is Graham and Del Rio going to have to now counterpunch what's being done to them? Because I can't imagine the about-face other than that. So maybe it will get better.
Do we have the big fella next? All right, I have a story I was going to read you. It's not sports related. It's Halloween related.
Do it. Or you want to save it for Chris?
I want to save it for the big fella.
All right. And he's coming up next on the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.